Dishonest. That's the nothing personal word of the day. It is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. And I am still reeling from Ohtani's press conference yesterday. Except for the rest of this show, I would like everybody to stop referring to when Ohtani met the media yesterday at 5:45 as a press conference. It was national and international news. At 5:45, Shohei Ohtani will be holding a press conference. Yesterday, you heard me say Dave Roberts is excited that he will be providing clarity. It won't be a distraction. We'll get to move forward. And then about 20 minutes before it's going to start, or an hour, who cares? 20 minutes, 60 minutes, 80 minutes, 69 minutes. I get an alert. It can't be true. No cameras, no video, no questions, no shoes, strange, no shirt, no service. That's a lot of rules for a press conference. Who calls a press conference and then says you can't ask questions? What kind of press conference is that? I know, it's called a statement reading. Shohei Ohtani, yesterday at 5:45 p.m., with an interpreter next to him, not sure why, with Andrew Friedman, Stan Kasten, Joe Kelly, and Kike Hernandez standing next to him, along with the head of marketing, not sure why, with a backdrop that has the Dodgers sponsors on it, not sure why, Shohei Ohtani walked in the room and read a statement. He pretended he was looking up at the 70 members of the media, and I don't want to specifically call out anyone in the business that I'm also in. But why were you there? Why were you okay with the rules that were given to you for yesterday? Why wouldn't you call the Dodgers and say, thank you, I'll wait for the email version of the statement? I'm going to schlep through traffic. Although maybe there's no traffic in Arizona, but there is. I've been there. 70 people sat there and watched Ohtani with notes read, throw his interpreter, erstwhile best friend, under the bus in a way that there is no recovering for Ipe. None. And Ohtani did not address the only thing that we wanted to know about. Oh, people are saying now, David, don't be ridiculous. He didn't bet on baseball. He said so himself. He didn't place any bets. He said it himself. He had no idea until Korea that anything was happening. And even in the middle of a team meeting where his interpreter was talking at the team meeting, didn't know what was happening until he got back to the team hotel and the interpreter told him everything. I told you when we have team meetings, it's not just everyone gets a chance, say, stand up and talk. It's a team meeting. You don't think when Ohtani sat down and said, wow, what a weird time to have a team meeting after game one of the season in Korea. Wow, that's my best friend, my interpreter, who's in the middle of the clubhouse about to talk in English. What's interesting to me is that Ohtani wants us to believe that Ipe, when he spoke to ESPN, told nothing but lies the first night, but then the second day told nothing but truths that Shohei wasn't involved. Then the Dodgers and Shohei and maybe his agent come up with a story that Shohei suffered from massive theft and fraud. $4.5 million was taken out of his bank account, wired to an illegal bookmaker, and he had no idea. And they've stuck with that story, and it culminated in Shohei's statement where he outlined everything that we've heard. We didn't learn anything new. It was the single biggest waste of time I've ever had. I mean, I haven't watched Roadhouse yet, but in theory, that was a waste of 12 minutes of my life that I will never get back. So you don't have to watch it if you haven't seen it already. Here's what you can look for. Nothing. no answers for any of the questions that matter. So why did the Dodgers want this press conference? Time out, Coca. We are on DraftKings Network, but we can still edit this. 4-8-69. Why did the Dodgers want this statement read in a press conference setting? When they are sitting around making their PR plan, thinking about what to do, keep in mind this is the same team that claims, hey, we didn't know anything until the LA Times and ESPN called us, and we thought the best thing to do, let the interpreter meet the team and tell everybody what's happening, then we'll fire the interpreter, then we're going to make sure that everyone knows the story that Shohei wasn't involved. Then MLB is going to say everything's fine, we're not investigating. Then MLB is going to say, rut-row, we're investigating. Then the Dodgers got together and said, all right, we got the season starting again on the 28th, only 2 days from now. Let's address the elephant in the room right now. As president of the Dodgers, I'm not allowing that. No chance, toilet pants, am I going to be associated with that, where there's no questions allowed, no cameras allowed, no video, and it's a prepared statement reiterating the new story that they all agreed to stick to. And we know what happens when people get together and say, hey, this is our story, let's stick to it. Gives new meaning to a fence is only as strong as its weakest link. That's not the statement, Coca. A chain, thank you, is only as strong as its weakest link. Boy, this chain better stay strong. And don't misunderstand, I want that. I want Ohtani to be telling the truth. It's better for baseball. It's better for the sport, the people in the sport. It's better for everybody involved. It's better for the money. I wonder whether Ohtani's sponsors asked him to say something. Keep in mind, Ohtani's only making $2 million this year from the Dodgers. And the reason he was able to defer 68 of the 70 to 10 years from now is he's got all sorts of sponsorship income. You don't want your sponsors to run away from you. So it has to be that his advisors have been speaking to his sponsors in Japan. I wonder if they said, hey, Shohei, why don't you go ahead and meet the media, read a statement, and then we'll just all pretend that everything's good and nothing happened, and you can still be a spokesperson for us. If that's the case, then it should have been Ohtani at his, with his own press backdrop, with his own sponsors, and not Dodgers and MLB. Why have two players there? Either have 25 other of your teammates there, or have none of them. Are they there as a showing of support saying, we choose you, Shohei? Does that mean that 23 guys who weren't there don't choose Shohei? Why would the head of marketing be there? Is that because that they want to make sure that all the team sponsorship dollars don't dry up? Forget the Ohtani sponsorship dollars. And where was all this thought when they so quickly changed stories? And while I'm at it, are we to believe that Ohtani knew nothing about this until Ipe is in the clubhouse? People are asking, how did he not address how the $4.5 million goes missing from his account? And there's a bunch of player agents and player advocates and player families who are actually saying, hey, this is normal. Players don't know how much money is there in their account. I can say to you that there are players who don't know what they have in their checking account. They've got money managers. They've got financial advisors. But here's the problem. Banks, no matter who's associated with an account, no matter how much trust you give, and let's pretend Ohtani gave full trust to Ipe and said, hey, someone said, oh, he's got to write checks for dues. That's not how it works. Dues are prepaid. But in any case, and you get tips that you have to give clubbies, but none of that is relevant. Hey, I got to pay my cable bill. Ipe, pay the bill, write the checks. My assistant writes checks for me. My assistant can't do a wire. She doesn't have access to go to my online account and tell me my balance. She can't call the bank and say, hey, wire this amount of money. She can send an email to the bank asking for a wire to be done. And guess what happens next? The bank calls me. I can't avoid that. Hey, sorry, just call my assistant. It's not like I'm making an appointment with a doctor or talking to the cable company. Hey, your name's not on the bill. I can't speak to you. Well, can I give permission for you to speak to my assistant? Yes, hold please for an operator. All right, permission granted. Thank you, Mr. Sampson. Have a nice day. That can happen. But for a bank, no, it doesn't work that way. Now, do you think Shohei opened an account, a co-signer account with Shohei and Ipe on it? So Ipe had full access to everything. Great. Why wouldn't you say that? If you have a logical explanation, other than I'm a rich player and I don't look at my balance ever, of how $4.5 million can go missing and how wires can happen without your tacit approval and your authentication, say it. If you're so positive that you didn't do anything and that there is a reasonable explanation that the investigators, FBI, IRS, although IRS could give an absolute crap whether or not you've given ePay the authority or not. But if you have that explanation, by all means, as an attorney, I can tell you that I would have followed my advice last night and not said a word. I wouldn't have had a press conference. It's not like MLB can end its investigation now. It's not like MLB can say, all right, we heard from Shohei. We're GTG. Good to go here. Nothing to see. Moving on. They've got to wait. They've got to wait to see exactly what is going to be found as it relates to the question I just asked. There's another interesting side to this story, and that has to do with the fact that Shohei is a Japanese player, and I wanted to touch on that for a brief second. All international players, Dominican, Venezuela, Japan, doesn't matter where you're from, in order to work in the U.S., these players get visas, and then some of the players get green cards, and then some of them can become citizens. There's a lot of people out there saying, oh, Shohei's a foreign resident. He's not subject to U.S. gift tax law, as an example. He is a taxpayer in the United States. Secondly, do you know that if you commit a crime, it is almost guaranteed that you lose your right to work in the States? I'm not saying Ohtani's going to be convicted of a crime. I'm saying that there are so many layers to this, so many parts of the investigation that MLB cannot close it down. Therefore, this cloud that they tried to lift with this statement is going to exist well into the season, if not to the end of the season. And that's the scary part for baseball, because you just don't know. The whole thing with gambling, you know, if this were a sex scandal, would have been much easier for MLB to deal with the way they dealt with Bauer, put the player on administrative leave, domestic abuse, drunk driving, sexual harassment. There are myriad things that this could have been the issue for Shohei, and he would have had to have been put on administrative leave. It's not that they're treating him differently than Bauer. It is a different situation. Or Herman or Urias, another Dodger, two Dodgers. But there's gambling involved here. Swift rushes to judgment when gambling is involved is something that MLB has decided they're not going to participate in. And they're not the only league. Let's think about how the NBA, the NFL, and MLB deal with gambling issues. They all have rules. They all reiterate their rules to their players. The NFL spent a ton of time last season trying to make sure that every player understood, can you be in a team facility? You have to be outside a team facility. You can't give your phone to someone else. We're tracking your IP address. We're spending money to know what players are doing what, when, where. We're looking at trends. We've got forensic data scientists who are looking to see everything that's happening. Why? Because they all agree on one thing. They actually agree on two things, Coca. One, they're going to take money in sponsorship and get revenue from gambling. They're going to embrace it, not shun it. And two, without integrity, there is no league or asset valuations at the level that they're currently at. So each league is dealing with different things. We've had referee scandals in basketball. You've had player issues. Adam Silver, and I have no proof of this. If Poppy were here, we'd hear his voice. This is great journalism right here. Adam Silver, maybe we'll ask Skipper. Adam Silver sent a note to Rob Manfred saying, thank you so much, Rob, for the Shohei story, because no one's talking about what's happening in the NBA. And in any other day, the lead of this show and every show is about Jontay Porter. He's a player for the Raptors who is not playing for the Raptors, quote, for personal reasons. I'm the king of using personal reasons as a reason to cover all sins. It's so good. Personal reasons when we don't want to disclose an injury quite yet, or when we know there's something bad going on with the player, where we know that there's going to be an issue that's going to come out. But for now, we stick with unavailable for personal reasons. Well, the reason Porter's unavailable is that the NBA is investigating irregularities about prop betting as it relates to Porter. The facts of this story are scary. Apparently, Porter had some significant action on his prop bets. And this guy is the younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., the championship player for the Nuggets, who's making 30 plus million a year. It'd be hard for me to believe that his brother, if he needed 10 or 20 grand, he would not call his brother and say, hey, I'm in a pinch. I don't want to believe that in any way he was associated with the shenanigans around the prop bets of himself, where a lot of people were taking the under in games where mysteriously he'd start and then disappear because of a quote unquote injury and the unders would all hit. And this action got flagged and then it got flagged again. And now Porter is not playing for personal reasons and he's being investigated. Why is this such a big deal? Can you think about what would happen if players bet against their own team? We know that's the third rail. That's the Black Sox. That's the end of integrity. What's right under that? When individual players bet against themselves. How easy would it be if a player, this is why, for the record, and I embrace DraftKings, I'm on DraftKings Network, so I acknowledge everything, but I'm talking about the nuance of the new age in which we live, where we're all just learning. Can you imagine a market where you could bet on a player to strike out twice in a game? And that player is legally allowed to bet on other sports. That player loses a ton of money betting on other sports and says, wait a minute, I can make this back. Go ahead and bet 10 grand, 20 grand, 50 grand on over 1.5 strikeouts. Wouldn't you know it? That player can control it. Hey, how about betting on under 7 points? How about betting on under a half a 3-point attempt in a game? That's way easier than betting on a team or against a team, for your team, against your team. You're in baseball, you put a bet on your team and you don't hit in the ninth inning down one, not sure what you can do with it or about it. You put all your money on not attempting a three, you can bet your bippy you're not going to attempt a three. Even if it's the natural flow of the game, even if you're down three with 0 seconds left, you're going to turn the ball over, dribble it off your foot. That's the scariest part of this whole situation. And we could give you short-term solutions to it. Hey, make sure that no one can bet that amount of money on props. It's unrealistic to think that props are going to get taken off the boards because they're not. People love it. Give the people what they want. Given that we've agreed That's a dollar, Coca. I'm not a we. 18 years a we, now a they. Given they, MLB, and they, NBA, and they, NFL, have agreed that gambling is here to stay. That's when you do the type of investigations that MLB is doing, that the NBA are doing. Does it scare me that two leagues are currently investigating gambling issues? No, because this is now the norm. MLB was investigating. They have a whole department called the Department of Investigations. They're investigating stuff all the time. It's not like they're sitting at their desk like they're on the set of Severance. Adam Scott just sitting there, and or Joe versus the Volcano, where the lights are flashing and they look this whitish pale of vomit where you get the life sucked out of you. There's cobwebs on the door, and every once in a while, someone goes down to the third level of the commissioner's office, knocks on the door, and people sit up at alert. Hello, what can I do for you? Hey, we got something for you to do today. It looks like Porter and his prop bets may have a problem. Hey, all right, let's rev up the machine. No, the DOI in baseball is jam-packed. It's a big department. They're investigating stuff all the time. Eventually, it will become less newsworthy. No, it won't. Hi, my name's David Sampson, nothing personal. And if you think that we are at the end of the investigations regarding gambling in sports as it relates to players and known associates of players, I've got a surprise for you. Karen Carpenter. We've only just begun. How do I think this ends? I think it ends with the suspension for Porter. I think he will be made an example of. And while I always agree that you got to have the facts and the law on your side, I also know in real life, in baseball and in sports, there are fall men, fall people. We've seen it all the time. The Houston Astros scandal, there was a fall guy. When there are any issues that can cut to the core of both on or off field integrity, you have to assign blame to somebody and you have to clear blame of everybody else. But under any scenario in our society today, you can't say we're all good, period. I mean, think about the interpreter in the Ohtani case. The entire world is just trying to pin everything on him and hope he disappears, period. The investigation in the NBA is a little more complicated because the issue will not just disappear. So I look for the NBA to come down strong on Porter. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If not, great. But the thing about this show that you will discover is that there's accountability. A, I make mistakes. I'm 45 to 50 minutes a day. 50 minutes now, we're on DraftKings Network. 50 minutes a day. No teleprompter, just a bunch of topics. Me, Coca, and our new partner, Sarah. Just giving it to you. Somebody's in my ear, but I make mistakes. Wait to see when I get them wrong, I revisit it. As a matter of fact, you can go to davidsampsonpodcast.com and you can look at every Wait to See. You can look at every word of the day, every movie I've reviewed, every pick of the day. Accountability matters. My Wait to See today is that Jonte Porter will be suspended for more than 10 games. And you can book that. The NFL had a good day yesterday. They didn't have to deal with anything gambling or integrity related. They had to get their owners' meetings started. Always news out of NFL owners' meetings. And they had some pretty bad press themselves, but it is buried below the fold, page 7, behind Ohtani and Porter. Sorry, folks, no more hip drop tackles. Just as we told you last week, the exact language that came from the competition committee was approved by the owners. And that means that hip tackles are now illegal. The players did not agree with this change, and they were vociferous in their objection, loud in their reaction to this rule change. That's such a difference now than when I was in the game. And I don't mean a back in my day type of thing, but I didn't really worry much about player reaction to things prior to social media. Players didn't like meeting the media. They would talk only when forced to. Now players are able to skip the media altogether and give their message to you through their social media accounts. And it leads to chaos. You know, it's one thing if J.J. Watt comes out and says, just fast forward to the belts with flags on them. That's one thing. But when you have active players, that new rule is BS, Lonnie Johnson Jr. said. Javon Holland, breaking news, tackling banned. DJ Reader, these rules are getting crazy. Two-hand tag is a better fit. That means that the NFL is having a harder time controlling the message. And trust me when I say that the commissioner of the NFL is like the commissioner of baseball. They like controlling the message. And in this day and age, it's way harder, which means you've got to get your constituents to buy into what you're doing if you can. Except these leagues don't actually care. MLB passes rule changes out of its competition committee, basically outvoting the players on that competition committee who are against lowering the pitch clock this season from 20 to 18 with runners on base. They don't care. Let the players and agents complain. The NFL gets to do exactly what it wants inside the boundaries of the collective bargaining agreement. Roger Goodell must know that there was going to be pushback on this rule. He didn't care because he believes it's in the best interest of the safety of the game. So he sends out his committee chair, Rich McKay, a name you may know, and says when the hip tackle is used, it's incredibly injurious to the runner, meaning runners get hurt a lot, because the runner is defenseless. Interesting. If I legislated away every single play in football where somebody was defenseless, there's no more running across the middle. You cannot. That's the next rule. No more routes across the middle. That'll help the defenders. You can't go to the middle. You can do a quick 10 out. What's it called, Coca? What's the play where you just run 10 yards, go to a spot, turn around, and the ball's there? A down. It's not a down and in where you have to go in or a post. It's whatever. Whatever the word is, Coca. We can do that, but no more running across the middle. Forget the tush push. That stinks for the guys in the bottom of the pile. No more pileups. On a fumble, we have a new rule. No more grabbing players' crotches or spitting in the big pile of massive humanity while the umpires peel them off and then decide where the ball is, who's got the ball. Here's how we're going to do fumble recoveries. It's too dangerous. What we're going to do is anyone who the ref sees touch the ball first. You touch it, you bought it. We're going to make it a little worse than you break it, you bought it from one of those tourist stores on 42nd Street or on the beaches, wherever you go. And we're going to make it, you touch it, you got it. It's perfect. No more violence. I wonder whether these are going to get called. 15 yards, automatic first down. The referees have to do it. But then we had Troy Vincent, who works now for the NFL. He said, don't worry, gentlemen. We're just going to send you a letter if you do it. It's going to be like the use of helmet rule. They won't throw flags. They'll just do it in their post-game report. We'll send you a letter saying, please don't do the hip drop tackle. Is that really what's going to happen? Do you know that referees in the NFL, like in MLB, are talked about what to focus on and what not to focus on by the league? Do you think it's a coincidence when they changed the roughing the passer rules that all of a sudden roughing the passer calls went up? Do you think it's a change when they dealt with holding? Or in the NBA, this is the best one, hand checking. Want to get rid of hand checking? Every time someone puts a hand on the defender, stop the game, blow the whistle. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be stops and starts, but just do it and then players will learn. The problem is the difference between hand checking and hip dropping. What do you think the difference is? Hand checking is completely controlled by the defender. Defenders in football and basketball, let me say that in a slightly clearer way. 69-89. In basketball, you can legislate away hand checking because a player knows when they're putting their hand on a player, the whistle gets blown, and eventually there's no more hand checking. In football, what they're ignoring is the reality. And the reality is that when the defenders are running at the offensive player, the job is to get them down. And if you're chasing a player and looking at their uniform name, that's a simple rule in football. When we see a uniform name, it means that you've been beat, run faster. It's like in baseball, we tell the outfielders, I don't ever want to see the name on your jersey. Think about that. When do you ever see the name on a jersey in baseball of an outfielder? When the ball gets past him and they're running to the wall. It's a simple rule. I don't want to see your name. Maybe that'll be the rule next in the NFL. If you can see the name on the back of the jersey, then you can't touch the player. Maybe that's what's coming next. All right. Let's take a break, Coca. I got to review a movie when we come back, and then we're going to talk about Deion Sanders. And what he said, I've got the perfect antidote to Deion Sanders' problem. So, Deion, if you're watching, stay tuned until after the break. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SAMSON. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SAMSON. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson coming at you Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. live on YouTube, 10 a.m. on the DraftKings Network. And we are a week away from the first Nothing Personal Live with David Sampson. We will be in Philadelphia at the City Winery in Philadelphia. Get your tickets today. Come have fun with us. Believe me, it's going to be fun. We're stopping in Atlanta and Boston, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and New York this month, but starting in Philadelphia in a week. So the reason I want you to go is A, you get to meet Coca. That's pretty cool. But B, you're going to see how the sauce is made. We're going to do a show and you're going to see sort of behind the scenes of how a show gets done. And it's going to be an interesting show. People in Philly are going to be interested. There may be some Philly topics in there that we'll get to go in great detail about. Bring your friends and we'll see you a week from today on April 2nd. Of course, I will have reviews every day. I watch a movie every day. I review a movie. Ricky Stenicki. Peter Farrelly directed a movie. He did not call me to be an extra. I was an extra in one of the Farrelly Brothers movies called Three Stooges. I was not called to be an extra in this one, and I would have loved it. Because who wouldn't have fun with Zac Efron and John Cena fully clothed? Well, actually, mostly clothed. And of course, the guy from Dave, his name is, it's Cena. What did I call him? Senna? John, sorry, John. John Cena. John, I'm sorry. All right, let me talk about Ricky Stenicki for a minute. I laughed. I counted because I wasn't liking it at first, and I wanted to like it because it's Peter Farrelly, and he's a friend. And then I started laughing. And then I started to feel something. It's actually a movie that's both a comedy. There is some level of emotional discourse. There are some life lessons that he addresses. There's redemption. There's down on your luck. Hey, it's going to be okay. There's a happy ending. Most movies have that. I'm in. It's an Amazon movie called Ricky Stenicki. It's not a waste of your time. You're going to laugh. I laughed at least 8 times. I laughed audibly 2 or 3 times. And I was smiling the majority of the time. I do miss Dave, though. Dave, when is Little Dicky? When is season, what is it, 4, 3? When's the next season coming? I need it. Need it. All right, let's move to Deion Sanders. Boy, he's something. The bell of the ball, when he coached Colorado, remember all the great recruits he has, all the tickets that were being sold. He won a bunch of games. Oh, he's going to take over at Alabama. Then he's going to go to the Dallas Cowboys. Trajectory straight up. Deion's done a great job recruiting in Colorado. But what he said yesterday really got me thinking. He went on a podcast called Million Dollars Worth of Game Podcast. And he's talking about his son. His son is Shedeur Sanders. He was talking about another one of his great players, a two-way player named Travis Hunter. And he said that they're going to pick their NFL team, not the other way around. And if you don't believe me, then you don't know who Eli Manning is. For those of you who don't know who Eli Manning is and you think he's only the sidecast on ESPN during games on Monday nights, he's a guy who said, I'm not going to play for you if you draft me. I want to be a Giant. John Elway said, I'm not going to be a Colt if you draft me. I want to be a Bronco. Whatever Eli Manning had decided through his dad, he didn't want to be a Charger. And guess what? The Chargers said, we're drafting you anyway. And Eli Manning said, great, not playing. And they said, crikeys, what do we do? They traded him to the Giants. Deion said about his son, there are certain cities that fit. Back in his day, there were certain cities that fit. Atlanta fit. And I want that for my kids, all of them. I want the right fit. He said Atlanta was the first time I saw black people in positions of authority. It blew my mind. It was real in Atlanta. And then Deion mentioned other teams where it would be okay for his son to play. I don't think he mentioned Miami. I've got a solution for you, Deion. Go to Capitol Hill. Go to the commissioner's office and let's call for it. We've already seen NILs, which have led to college free agency and a transfer portal that's more crowded than the 6 train at 5 o'clock. Let's go all the way, Sly Stone, or is it Sly Fox? Let's go all the way. I think it's Sly Stone and the Fox. Let's do college free agency. Everybody can go wherever they want in college, and then let's go NFL free agency. Now, don't worry. It's a salary cap game, so I have a plan for that, too. The Dallas Cowboys get the worst record in the league, which they don't, but they have the first pick in the draft, which they may one day. The slot is slotted. They've got $14.625 million. They can give it to whoever they want. Just sign somebody. Anybody can take it. The Cowboys get to choose who they want. What happens if the Cowboys and the Raiders want the same player? The Raiders only have $8 million in their slot in the first round, but the Cowboys have $15 million. He with the most money wins most often. We're not over. We still have 12 minutes, but it is just business. But one player goes to the Cowboys in the first round. All right, there's still 31 other teams that need a player, and there's 31 other slots. And the 31 teams will sign one player. Now, if you, Deion, want your child to take less money to go to the team that he wants to play for, no problem. Because every team has 7 rounds of openings. They have 7 slots. Better yet, will give you a pot of money the way MLB does for international slots. You've got $5 million to spend. You want to blow it all on one player? Good luck. You want to give a dollar to 5,000 players? 5 million players? Good luck. Do whatever you want, but this is your money. What if we did that with the pros? We give the NFL teams a bucket of money, and they can go with any player they want. There's no more draft. Now, granted, the NFL is building a huge business based on the draft. The draft goes from city to city. It is hugely profitable from a broadcast standpoint. The NFL has zero incentive to ever get rid of the draft, except what happens if a player gets drafted by a team and says, I won't play for you, and the team says, you know what? Screw you. We're going to sit you. Good luck. In baseball, we do it all the time. When you don't sign a player, they can't go somewhere else. They got to sit out a year, and then they can re-enter the draft if they don't sign with you. That's the leverage you have over a player. They've got to sign with you. Some players say, you know what? I'll just go to college. No problem. Go to college, see in 3 years. That's in baseball. In football, there's no such leverage. They're already done. Now, why am I suggesting something that may never happen? Because the thought of a team to spend the amount of resources that they spend on the draft to identify the player they want, and for that player to think they've got the power themselves, I vehemently disagree. That is an unbalance of power. And I'm not a management hack. You don't want to give all the power to the teams? No problem. I'm giving it all back to the players. Every one of you can be a free agent. For crying out loud, Meatloaf, I've been saying this for 15 years. I want every player to have freedom. Baseball, basketball, football. I want every player to be a free agent every year. Be good. Get paid. Be bad. Sorry. So I think that the Deion Sanders situation is a little more serious than people are talking about, because if in fact this happens with his son and maybe with Travis Hunter, we'll see. But if it does, just know that that will cause the NFL to act as it should. Nothing personal pick of the day. We are 36-39. We had the Sixers +9 against the Kings. That did not work out. The Kings won by 12. We lost. We are 36-39. We are down units. Remember, for those of you new with me on DraftKings Network or new to the show, listening wherever you get your podcasts, thank you. However you engage with me, thank you very much. Every unit we do is $10. We encourage you and insist that you gamble responsibly. We lost last night. Today, I wish everybody would revisit their picks. Sometimes they just do it. Record this year, 10-16-1. Well, all right, 36-39. The Heat are at home against the Warriors. The Warriors were in the news yesterday for an interesting reason. They were in the news because Steve Kerr was defending Steph Curry's minutes allocation. I think there is a misunderstanding amongst NBA fans. Steph Curry of today is not the Steph Curry of yesterday. While LeBron looks like he could be the LeBron of yesterday, he's actually not. Age and father time are going to win every second. And as a coach and as a general manager and president of a team, you are monitoring minutes. As much as we want the regular season to matter, as much as you're saying, hey, Golden State may miss even the play-in tournament, we talk to our manager about which players are available, no matter what game it is. Some games, the manager will say, everyone's available. Those are called game sevens. And even then, the game six starter is not available. Although, yes, he could be. As a matter of fact, I've pitched a pitcher in game seven who pitched in game six. I don't know if I've ever done a starter, but maybe. Wouldn't be out of the question on one day rest, last game of the year for a player he didn't sign long term. You don't care if his arm's going to fall off. I can see a scenario where that would happen. But in terms of minutes for Curry, You got to protect him. Even if it costs you a game, you protect him. We're taking the Heat plus 1.5 versus the Warriors in Miami because the Heat at home, yeah, they need this. All right, Coca, play me some music, please. I can't hear it.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. That's from the movie Half-Baked. It's always better if you're 68, 69 baked when you watch it. But Dave Chappelle, etc., there's a character named Samson, and people want to talk to him. If you want to talk to me, submit a question on davidsamsonpodcast.com or on Twitter at David P. Samson, or come to the show in Philadelphia. I'm taking questions from the audience as part of the show. David, have you seen what the Bills are asking their fans to pay for seats in their new stadium? I won't do it. No chance toilet pants. Wait, should I? Such a great question. The Buffalo Bills got over $1 billion in public financing to help build their new stadium. And word came out yesterday that they're doing PSLs called personal seat licenses. Let me explain to you what a PSL is. It means that you pay money for the right to spend money. That's it. It is a way to bring in current day dollars to help offset the cost of construction. It is used to borrow money as collateral. It is budgeted for. It is part of the pro forma, part of your financials when you are putting together a financing plan for a ballpark. We are going to sell X thousands of PSLs at Y price. That will equal a number. Well, word came out that there's some PSLs anywhere between 15 and 50,000 per seat in the club section. So what you do is you write a check for 50 grand or put it on your high limit credit card. Then you get a bill when it's time to buy tickets. Meanwhile, they've got your 50 grand. Very popular way of doing things. The thing is, you got to communicate with your fan base. You have to explain to them from the beginning. Because when you say that you are putting X dollars into your new stadium, but the X dollars you're using are actually coming from you, the fans, then it's the fans doing it. Now, every company does the same thing. When the prices go up of fuel, there's a fuel surcharge when you rent a car or fly in a plane. When the cost of labor increases because the minimum wage gets increased by law, the price to the consumer goes up. There's a general rule of thumb in business. Make the customer pay for as much as possible so you can maintain your margins. In the world of sports and public financing, the smarter thing to do, PSLs are good, but the smarter thing to do is to, if you're going to use PSL revenue streams to build your ballpark, then you've got to tell your fans well in advance that that is going to be your plan. My preference was to not do PSLs, but was to make the tickets more expensive, but have the banks agree to what our assumptions were, however wrong they turned out to be, what our assumptions were for ticket revenue, and then monetize that as part of our ability to borrow money and contribute to the construction and operation and maintenance of a facility. But the Bills chose to just tell you that they're going to have a great club area, tons of amenities. It's going to be so much fun, roomier, upgraded experience, they said. So give me your money now. And the fans are despondent beyond repair. Communication. Letters, videos, phone calls, myriad ways to communicate with your customers in this day and age. There's no excuse not to communicate. Unless, of course, you're under investigation, in which case you got to shut the heck up. I wonder what the Buffalo's 4-6-9. I wonder what the Bills are going to do. Because the thing is, you can't go back. when you have pledged PSL revenue to a project, you can't say, oh, we got bad press. We're going to stop doing PSLs. We're going to eliminate the program. Instead, you do what the Bills did yesterday, and it was good. They came out and said, the PSLs for the new stadium will be as reasonably priced as any around the league. Yikes. Is the cost of living in Buffalo the same as the cost of living in Los Angeles? Markets are all different. I always appreciate when I can use, hey, he did it. I try that with my mom all the time. They did it. They're doing it. Why can't I do it? You gave him an A. Why didn't I get an A? Oh, because your test was different, Dodo Bird. The situation in Buffalo is totally different than the situation anywhere else. The appetite for PSLs, the ability to pay PSLs, the fact that you did not come out beforehand and talk about pricing. Here's what I think Buffalo should have just done. The Bills should have called up their season ticket holders and simply left a message. It's just business. This is nothing personal.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.